Hi everyone, this is Veronika Kirilenko, a senior editor of the New American Magazine. We're in Bucharest, Romania, covering the Make Europe Great Again conference. And next to me, I have Lisa Ekman, a red-pilled Democrat from Virginia who just come up with a book called Deprogramming Democrats and Uneducating the Elites. So the title is really intriguing. Lisa, why won't you tell us why you decided to write this book?
So I was a 20-year veteran swamp creature, I'll call myself, a Democratic advocate and lobbyist in Washington, D.C. And when the COVID-19 pandemic hit, and I just couldn't make sense of what the agencies were doing. Didn't make sense from a scientific perspective, didn't make sense from a political perspective, a policy perspective, which I had spent my life doing. Add to that the fact that they started censoring people I knew were telling the truth, and I said, something isn't right. And it was like pulling on the thread of the sweater, where you just pull one thing and the entire sweater unravels. So I woke up to the fact that I was living a lie, that my reality, everything I had been programmed and indoctrinated to believe, wasn't true. And that I had been an unwilling participant in a cultural revolution to overthrow the capitalistic government of the United States to create a communist world government. And so it took me about 3 years to put myself back together, to pick up the pieces of my shattered reality and to get my self-confidence back. I mean, if you can imagine, admitting you're wrong about something is really hard. Admitting you're wrong about everything and your whole life is next to impossible. So that's what I had to do. And once I did that and rebuilt my self-confidence, I decided there was no way I couldn't speak out and try to help wake other people up to save the country that I dearly love. And as we are talking about here at the Make Europe Great Again conference, it's not just our country. If America falls, so does the world. And we, with our First Amendment and our Second Amendment, are a bastion of freedom and are the bulwark against this communist revolution that the globalists want to effectuate.
Lisa, can you speak in more detail about your experience during the pandemic that shattered your belief system?
So I have to go back just a couple of years to explain that prior to the pandemic, I lost both my parents in a very short period of time. And I had a lot of interaction with the medical system in the United States. And what I learned is that there are a lot of things about our medical system that make no sense from a healthcare perspective. I like to call that we have a sick care system, not a health care system, because what they do is they treat symptoms and they ignore the underlying lifestyle, diet, choices, the toxic exposures, stress that create sickness within people, that create environments within the body that allow things like cancer and chronic conditions to develop. And so based on research that I did to try to help my mom beat cancer, all of the recommendations they were giving, stay inside. Well, that's the worst thing for you to do when you want to build your immune system. First of all, vitamin D from the sun is one of the best things that you can do to keep yourself healthy. Staying inside, once again, breathing stale air, rebreathing all the chlorine fumes. And so these things started to have me say, well, if they're giving us this bad advice, what else are they giving us bad advice? Where are our regulatory agencies? Why are we not having a conversation about shutting down the entire world and before we just go ahead and do it? And one of the other things is that my fiance, who was my boyfriend at the time, he did not buy the pandemic. He was not scared. He was not wearing a mask. And so, as you might imagine, our realities were clashing and we were having significant fights, fights about what the true nature of reality was. And he kept telling me, go research it yourself. Go look, go research it yourself, go look. And finally one day I said, okay, I will. I may have yelled that, you know, not just said, and then I did. But he also asked me a question and he said to me, if they'll poison our water, what won't they do? Now we are 70% water. You can't live without water for very long at all. And there are lots of studies that show how harmful fluoride is and chlorine. And if you look at any studies of our drinking water in cities, it's very unhealthy. And they do it on purpose. You don't add fluoride without knowing that it has negative impacts, especially when you realize that fluoride is one of the main ingredients in Prozac. So what do you think it's doing to all of our brains? Because long-term Prozac use rewires your brain. So those two things made me really ask a lot of questions. And when I did, it was pulling that, you know, thread on the sweater. It was hitting the domino. It was taking that one card out that toppled the house of cards of lies. And that created, and then I had to question everything. And I think that's one of the things that happens to people on the left is through indoctrination, through the schools, through propaganda and censorship, that they don't question what they are told. And you saw this during the pandemic. And I think what also the censorship that was happening to voices that I had followed for health news, you know, people who I highly respected and were put on the...
Like who?
So a gentleman named Sayer G, who I forget the name of his website, but he was one of the Disinformation Dozen. And he basically, they have a database of thousands of peer-reviewed studies upon which he bases his position. So there was that, and then there was the Great Barrington Declaration, which in my opinion is the way we should have been making decisions. Let's protect the people who we think are vulnerable. But why would a healthy person wear a mask, especially when the science doesn't support it? And why would we say, for example, you can wear a mask into a restaurant until you sit down and then you can take it off. But if you get up to go to the bathroom, you have to put it back on. From a scientific perspective, this makes no sense. But people who were saying anything like that got censored. And so I always considered myself what you might call a classical liberal, an old school liberal. The First Amendment is absolute to me. If there's a concept of misinformation, disinformation, and don't even get me started on malinformation, because what the heck is that, right? But is inconsistent with the First Amendment. The only regimes, and I will use that word, that talk about disinformation are totalitarian, fascist regimes, communist regimes. So when they started and picked up the censorship, I couldn't. And what I started to see was so many of my now former friends, because that's the other thing that can happen when you wake up to the reality that you begin to believe differently and know the truth to be different than what all your friends are, you do lose a lot of friends.
But at the same time, you gain lots of new friends.
You do, and but you also, there's a lot of humbling that happens, you know, especially when you were like me and an advocate and lobbyist and lawyer who shot her mouth off. I don't mean that in a bad way, but talked about how I felt a lot publicly. So then you have to, you know, come to terms with that, and you really feel sort of out of place. And I will say, though, that since I have come into the, you know, conservative circles, I have felt nothing but welcome and nothing but, you know, acceptance, and I'm just really happy at that. And you're right, new friends. But when I started seeing my friends call for censorship, or this is the one that really got me, I think, friends who were clearly showing that they would be willing to turn someone in for not wearing a mask or turn someone in for not getting a shot. And I started to see some real parallels to what could have happened to unvaccinated people, to what happened to Jewish people during World War II, to the point of certain teams were requiring yellow armbands for people who were not vaccinated. If that is not symbolism, I do not know what is. And so when I started to see that, I said, okay, I can't let this stand. You censor people who are telling the truth, and you allow people to have these opinions that could lead us down a very slippery slope.
Yeah, so it looks like that you're on the mission to prevent more people to to fall into this slippery slope to totalitarianism, fascism, communism, and all these awful anti-human regimes, and the state of basically eradicating human life in general. So, Lisa, so how do we deprogram Democrats, and how do we uneducate the elites? I think this is the hardest part.
This really is the hardest part. And as I say in the book, I wish there was a playbook. I wish I could sit here, Veronica, and tell you, you know, yes, take step A, B, C, and they'll wake up. But it's not that easy. What we have to understand is that a lot of leftists, especially ones who have graduate level education or at least a bachelor's degree, have been highly indoctrinated. And they've been indoctrinated to believe that only people who are educated and credentialed can you listen to. So you create a monopoly on knowledge. So you're never going to be able to tell them anything, especially if it contradicts what the people in their social media and media bubble tell them and the experts, quote unquote, that have been credentialed and are educated are telling them. So the first thing that I would say is the best strategy is ask them questions. You get to know them, get to know what they're passionate about, get to know how they come to the conclusion, for example, that it is okay to give hormones and perform surgery on a 12-year-old. You know, these kind of questions, how did they get there? What are they passionate about? And eventually you will find the question, just like what if they'll poison the water, what won't they do? That will just be too much. What I find too is that with people on the right, who are especially those people of faith who have religious faith, they're guided by principles. So, for example, limited government is a principle, and you evaluate every decision about what the government should or shouldn't do based on that principle. The left doesn't have those principles. So they live with a high degree of cognitive dissonance. They can hold two things that are hypocritical or don't go together at the same time until they can't. So what you're looking to do is find the question that accesses their true compassion. Because basically what happens is most people on the left are extremely compassionate people, but that compassion is manipulated and weaponized into fear and anger for usually a vulnerable population that they want to protect. So access that true compassion. Show them the people they need to be compassionate to that their current position is not compassionate to. And then push the cognitive dissonance through questions as much as you can. And at some point it will break. Now, this is a very hard thing to scale up. Someone was just asking me, how do you do it on a large scale? And the answer to that question is, I don't know yet. I hope to find out. But it has to be an individual thing because nobody got indoctrinated or programmed in the exact same way. Nobody had the same parents. Nobody has been raised with the same values as anybody else. And it's really getting at that for each person, I think, that can help them wake up.
Lisa, how can people learn more about your work and where they can find your book?
So you can follow me on Twitter at deprogrammeddem. And my book is currently available as an ebook on Amazon or for pre-order as a physical book on Amazon and pre-order on Barnes & Noble.
Thank you so much. That was Lisa Ekman, everyone. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Veronica Kirilenko of The New American Magazine.
Remember when the only uncertainty in the news was the weather forecast? And you could depend on your local newspaper to bring you the news with only a hint of bias. Nowadays, there's a deluge of news outlets striving for your attention. But surprisingly, all the narrative is from one direction. At The New American, we hold fast to the timeless truths of our founders and provide a refuge of honest reporting. Visit thenewamerican.com today and get 25% off your subscription.